Heavenly Father God, I ask right now, Lord, that you would invade this time. God, that you would invade our hearts. God, and that you would make our hearts soft, Father, and open to receiving your word. And God, I pray that through the reading and the preaching of your word, God, that we would be sparked, Father, to fall in love, Lord, with you even deeper today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'll give you a little bit of a, I'll speak this to you in a little bit of a story. And I wrote this up pondering on memories and some of my own practice and discipline of meditation and reflecting on the Lord. As I walk along the rugged paths of the hiking trails near my childhood home, I can't help but take in this elated feeling that touches my senses. The beauty of the autumn leaves that litter the ground, the bold colors of the season, the aroma of a distant fire burning in a fireplace, the sound of the leaves rustling in the cool breeze. It's autumn. It's my favorite time of the year, and it incites these memories of pumpkins and apple cider and diving into leaf piles with my friends. But I'm lost in this moment, this great appreciation of the beauty that surrounds me. I'm walking on a journey to nowhere with no other purpose than meeting with Jesus. This is my quiet time. This is my time of solitude, my time to connect one-on-one with God, to sit in his presence, and to fulfill the needs of my heart and my life. This is where my appreciative pleasures meet my need love. I've been reading a series of C.S. Lewis writings over the past few weeks, and C.S. Lewis wrote this book years ago called The Four Loves. And if you ever have a chance to pick it up, pick it up. I was talking to Bill about it, and he took the words out of my mouth. He says it's heavy. It's a heavy read. It's kind of the language that he uses and the metaphors are they're heavy to pull in. But when you pull them in, they have such richness when you apply them to your life. So C.S. Lewis, in his book The Four Loves, he writes of these four characteristics of love that people possess. One he calls the need pleasure. The need pleasure he likens to something like a thirsty person who needs a glass of water, or he says the alcoholic who needs that drink. It's the instant fulfillment of the need, and it quickly passes and dies on us, Lewis says in his book. That's why these pleasures are always spoken of in the past tense. He says the man who drank the water says, "I needed that." And the man who has the drink of alcohol says, "I wanted that." It was that momentary past pleasure that was fulfilled that's fleeting once that action is done. The second is the appreciative pleasure. These are things that we enjoy, that we cherish, that we seek to preserve in the moment of appreciation. Lewis likens it to the person who's on their walk and passes by a field of sweet peas and takes in the pleasing aroma of the field and says, "How pleasant." And the wine connoisseur whose palate savors the flavor of a wine and says, "What a delightful wine." The appreciative pleasures believe that whatever it is that has grabbed us deserves our full attention, and that we are to take note of the mastery of its creation. Then there's the need love. The need love is the opposite of the need pleasure in that it is sustained. The need love never looks on its satisfaction as a past event, but as a present need. The need love would say, "This is what I needed." Then we have our gift love, which desires to serve the one we love. Now, need love can change in the human sense. At one moment, we may say that we need physical love or other certain moral principles, but then that need love can die as well. But the need love that we have for God will never die because he is our constant need. The psalmist writes of this need love for God in his moments of feeling separation in his presence. And that's what we're going to get into today in Psalm 42. But the focus is for us and for me, I'm a very sensing kind of a person, okay? me sitting in my office and reading the Bible or reading a devotional doesn't do it for me, right? I have to take these little adventures. I take these little day trips. I go and I walk in the woods, or I go to the beach and I sit and I watch the waves crashing on the shore, or it brings me back to this connectedness that I had with God in the beginning of my walk with Jesus. If you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 42. It's kind of hard. You can read it on these screens. They're a little bit better. Psalm 42, starting with the first verse. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night. While men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with a multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls, and your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love, at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. The psalmist is writing this during his time of exile. There's a conflict in the scholarship of this writing. There's many psalmists in the Psalms, right? There's not just one. And some people are trying to figure out, is this David? Because this is written in song and for the director of worship. Or is this one of the men who was called to worship in the royal courts of the temple? So there are two possibilities. Nobody really knows completely for sure who it is. But what we do know is the current state of the psalmist's life. The psalmist is far from the temple in Jerusalem, where he would normally be worshiping the Lord during the high holy days. He states in the beginning of the psalm that as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? This is a tremendously desperate need love that's being expressed on the part of the psalmist. He's claiming that as a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you. He's expressing the importance, the need, that he feels like he will die spiritually if he doesn't get into contact with, if he doesn't come into the presence of his God. The psalmist states that he needs God more than he would even need a drink of water. How many of us are there in our relationship with the Lord, where we put this value on our relationship with Christ, where we say, God, I need you even more than I need my next breath. God, I need you even more than I need that next drink of water. It's that constant, never dying need love for God. When can I go meet with God? He says, I need, my soul thirsts for God, the living God. There's so many things in this world and that can detract from our focus on what the real deal is. The world brings us to focus on things that we think we need more than we need anything else. We need a job that pays lots of money. We need a car that all of our neighbors are envious of. We need a house that has more rooms than we need in it. We need certain physical and fleshly, worldly pleasures in life. And those become gods. But the psalmist says, I need the real God, the true God. Not the gods that maybe the people that he's living among are worshiping. Okay? He's probably not in a place where there's a lot of people worshiping Yahweh, worshiping the God of Israel. They're probably worshiping a lot of idols. And he sees all this false idol worship happening all around him. And he says, they have no value. They have no value. They have no value. Only God, only you have value. Only you can give me what I need. Only you are my sustainer. Only you, God, can fill my soul. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God. We go through these seasons of life. They call them the dark nights of the soul. These moments where we feel a complete separation from the presence of God. And that's what the psalmist is expressing. He's expressing his dark night of the soul. His being far from the temple where he used to once worship. His being away from the throng of people that he used to go in with a procession to worship the Lord. He's expressing a depression. There's a depression. But with the depression comes that one of the four loves, which is that appreciative pleasure. He recounts these wonderful moments, these days when he used to be with his people in Jerusalem, and then he would lead the procession of people into the temple and worship the Lord and be in his presence. Don't forget, the temple was the place where the presence of God dwelt. Now, we believe now that the presence of God is everywhere. It's not in the four walls of a building. The psalmist is recounting his hike in the woods near his childhood home growing up, and all of the ways that his senses are being touched that recall memories of days when God felt so tangibly close. He says that as I'm reflecting on these memories of these days, and I'm being ridiculed by the men around me, then I have to ask myself the question, why am I being so downcast? Why am I so sad? Because these men are heckling me for what I believe, heckling me for who I believe in, but yet my hope is in the Lord and in no one else. When we feel that separation, when we feel that dryness, when we feel that whatever you want to call it, and we recall those appreciative moments in our lives when we first encountered Jesus, then we have no reason for our souls to remain downcast. We remember, we recall, we recount that joy that we felt. I remember when I was 22, 23 years old and I had rededicated my life to Christ. And Jesus started doing that sanctifying work in me. I was filled with overwhelming joy. I felt like I was spiritually invincible. I could do anything, right? God was always there, 24/7. Kind of like He was walking with me side by side with His arm around me all the time. It was the best feeling ever. And then as I started to grow in my faith a little bit, you start to feel a little bit of that distance, right? Not to say God's not there anymore, but almost like God saying, okay, you know what? You got to stop holding my hand a little bit, okay? I'm going to guide you right beside you, but I'm not holding on to your hand all the time, right? Like kind of like a baby when learning how to walk. You got to let go of their hand at some point so that they can learn how to walk on their own. But when I have those moments, when I feel complete separation, those dark nights of the soul, I recount those moments when I first met Jesus. Not when I first heard about Him, not when I first read about Him in the Bible, but when I first experienced them. There's so much great value and substance in those memories. And they flood your senses again, don't they? You feel that warmth. You feel that joy returning. You feel that reassurance that he's always there, even in the midst of your feeling that he's not. That's what the psalmist is remembering. He's remembering these great moments in the temple. He's remembering, hey, it doesn't matter if people are poking and prodding me. I serve the Lord my God, and he's bigger than whatever insults or slanders these people are throwing at me. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. That's where he's been exiled. The heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. These are action steps that we as followers of Christ take in our relationship with Jesus. We can't expect to be passive followers, okay? Meaning, we just expect God's presence to fill us and flood us and to recover us every day, right? The psalmist says that every morning he wakes up and he feels the presence and the love of the Lord, and it calls him to rejoice and to worship. Okay. He wakes up seeking the presence of God. Just like we would wake up and that we would expect to see the sun rising. So we should wake up and expect to feel the presence of God filling us for a new day. And it should draw us to worship and praise. Do we wake up asking God to flood us with an overwhelming sense of his presence and joy? Or do we just wake up and that's it? You wake up. Here's the steps. You wake up, you take a shower, you make your coffee, you brush your teeth, you go to work. How about we wake up, we set our sights and our hearts upon Jesus, and we ask him to fill us with his presence, and then we do all those other things. Right? As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. Are we thirsty? Are we hungry? Do we wake up expectant? Do we wake up desiring the presence of God within us? I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. We have those moments in our faith walk. I've had them more times than I'd like to admit, where you feel like everything's just happening in your life and God is not present in the moment and he's allowing all of this garbage to happen. God, why have you forgotten me? And my whining usually ends up going like, but God, I'm listening to what you want me to do, so why is this stuff happening to me? It's not fair. No, it doesn't go like that, but you get the point. But then what we realize is that it's not that God has forgotten you. It's not that God is not there. That we come against an enemy in our walk with Jesus. But when we have that memory, that appreciative pleasure that draws us to the need love. Okay, don't forget what the need love is that we have for God. Different than the need love for anything in the physically mortal world. Okay, is one of those that never dies. Okay, our appreciative pleasure, that memory, that recalling of that first time that we encountered Jesus, okay, leads to our need love, creates that need love, which then leads to the final piece, which leads us to want to worship him, right? The final piece of the four loves, it inspires that motivation in us to do out of the outpouring of love for Jesus, okay? C.S. Lewis talks about how you have a need love for your spouse, okay? Now, we all have a love for our spouse, right, who are married, okay? Now, out of that need love comes that desire to do whatever it is that is possible within your power to fulfill their needs, okay? It's reciprocity, in that relationship. Okay? The appreciative pleasure draws us to our need love, draws us to that desire to want to do things for Jesus. But it all comes back to how desperate are we to reconnect with the love and joy that we had when we first came to Christ. So, here's some steps that we can take. And this is a discipline that maybe we can all start. One of my mentors said to me, go and find a place, not in your house, not in your office, maybe not in the church sanctuary. Go and find a place where you can have complete peace and quiet. No distractions, nothing. A place where you can go and you can meditate on something that reminds you of God and that relationship that you have. For me, it's the beach or it's going hiking. I get in touch with nature, right? I don't talk to trees, but I like being around them. It's finding those places where we can sit and we can meditate and we can ponder and we can reflect and we can reconnect with God. Find one of those places for yourself. Two, the discipline of constantly seeking the presence of God. When I go to these places, I'm doing active worship. I'm a person who I recall memories and I use my my imagination a lot. Okay, so I'm a visionary kind of a person, not a nuts and bolts guy. And a lot of times when I'm feeling downcast, when my soul is feeling downcast and I feel that separation from God, and I sit and I pray and I envision myself sitting in the lap of Jesus. And it reconnects me. It reconnects me to Him. And then, what is your response when that moment happens? Do we end the moment and walk off and go home and call it a day? Or do we spend the rest of the day worshiping and praising and thanking God for meeting us in that place of need? That's what the psalmist does in Psalm 42. He acknowledges his need, his desperation for the presence of God in the midst of exile. He acknowledges those moments when he felt connected to the Lord, his God, in his life. He acknowledges how much greater God is even in the midst of his persecution. And he worships Him. His appreciative pleasure fulfilled his need love. And in response, there was an outpouring of worship. Is God your need love? Is God your need love? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for that moment when You invaded our life. We thank You, God, that You were not a God who came and had an impact in our lives and then left. But God, that You are still here, that You are still right beside us. Even when we don't feel You holding our hand or with Your arm wrapped around our shoulders walking through life, God, we know that You are there doing just that. God, I pray that You would reconnect us to that joy, that You would reconnect us to Your love, that You would inspire in us, God, that great undying need for Your presence. And that You would inspire within us, God, that great and undying need to pour that love back out to You in our worship. Lord God, we need You more than the air we breathe because You created it. Lord, and without You, it wouldn't exist. God, without You, we wouldn't exist. We love You, Jesus. We acknowledge our great, desperate hunger, thirst, and need for Your presence. Jesus, we pray this all in Your name. Amen. I like